Greg Randolph, as I said, who is the executive director of the North Carolina Center for Public Health Quality, broke a few ribs over the weekend and is not able to be here. So I'm going to do my best to present for him today on the community health improvement application, which we've referred to over the past 2 years as IMAP. I'm preaching to the choir if I have to tell everybody in the room that the U.S. ranks low in health outcomes. I think that's, pretty much a common knowledge with most people now. There's numerous population health evidence-based interventions available to us to try to improve health outcomes, but few, according to Greg, are implemented broadly. And the question being, what are the opportunities and barriers for communities to implement more evidence-based interventions, and how would you address them? But also, equally as important, with the identification of public health quality aims that serve as characteristics of quality in the system, how do you concretely apply that to the practice of public health? And when I say the practice of public health, I don't exclusively mean governmental public health agencies. As we've seen with the discussions from Katarina and Jesse, those wouldn't necessarily be considered a governmental public health agency, but they do some public health interventions. So how do you identify and design, evidence-based interventions that conform to those characteristics of quality? Because in developing those, it was developed as a means of aiding public health to identify what it means to have quality in the system. Quality in the system means that you have to meet some standard or some criteria to say that you have achieved quality. It's not just developing something and saying, well, we developed a program or we developed an intervention and we think it's quality. It has to meet some criteria or standard in order for you to say that it has quality. The example that I like to use is the example of clean drinking water, or quality drinking water. There has to be criteria for you to know if it is. Color, taste, and smell. It has to meet those criteria. So using that same analogy, what are the criteria to say that we have quality in public health? Just like we say to have quality in patient care, we have the IOM 6 aims for patient care, patient-centered, timely, efficient, effective. I probably don't remember patient-centeredness. But anyway, so that's what the work that Greg Randolph and his team in North Carolina have been working on is the identification of evidence-based interventions, number one, and how they conform with the criteria and characteristics for quality. Some barriers and opportunities that Greg has noted in the process of doing this project is that population health improvement is now a major focus of the U.S., thankfully. Community efforts to improve population health are often fragmented, and he gives as an example IRS changes for nonprofit hospitals. As something, as an opportunity in that area. The public health workforce is unaware of many resources and lack knowledge about evidence-based interventions, but also about the quality characteristics as well and how to implement them. Existing resources for improving population health, strong on evidence, assessment, but less support for selection and implementation, and also a major opportunity with this effort that he's put forth is an opportunity to align and note when there's alignment of intervention with the public health quality aims. So exactly what is IMAP? IMAP is a comprehensive web-based resource for implementing evidence-based population health interventions that also meet criteria for public health quality. IMAP helps partnerships assess the evidence of interventions. It aligns interventions with one or more of the 9 public health quality aims. It helps in identify and select interventions that fit the community and region. It uses implementation tools and resources. It can learn from others implementing the same or similar interventions, and it contributes to a knowledge base as well. So, you know, what Greg provides us with is his quality planning approach, and there were several phases to this project, which began 2 years ago, actually. And where he started was to adapt the IHI improvement map concept. So IHI, the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, they developed an improvement map which consisted of the identification of a plethora of interventions that aligned with the 6 aims for patient care. So what were interventions that were safe? What were interventions that were timely? What were interventions that were patient-centered? They did this as a way of providing a searchable database in order to take the 6 IOM aims for patient care and give it some concrete examples on how you implement in practice in order to conform with those characteristics of quality. So what Greg attempted to do was basically replicate what IHI had already done, but for health care. What he is doing is for public health. So he partnered with 4 North Carolina local health departments and their community partners. He worked with tobacco and other experts to populate the database initially with 10 evidence-based interventions in that first year. They currently have 56 entered into the system, with 22 of those being totally completed. And when I say completed, you'll see the effort that it takes to complete one of these in a minute. So they partnered with the 10 communities, they identified gaps and made improvements. They added an additional 14 tobacco evidence-based interventions and added 20 interventions focused on chronic disease, unintended pregnancy, STIs, and substance abuse. And some of the criteria that they use for the selection of the interventions entered into the system was whether or not the intervention did conform to at least one of the characteristics of quality. So was the intervention designed to reduce risk? Was the intervention designed to be health promoting? Was it designed to be equitable? And it's ironic to me, and maybe it's because of the populations that they serve, but I think one of the things that the takeaway message for me with the mobile clinics is the effort that they put forward to be equitable. When we look at other places and what other people are doing, that's usually the number one deficient area, is equitable. That the interventions being implemented or the measures being tracked, there's very little that we see in the way of equity. Just because you have an intervention to reduce infant mortality, if that's not targeted to an underserved community, we wouldn't consider that as being equitable. because you're just targeting the entire population. But anyway, some of the other things that they considered was the large-scale impact that the intervention would have. Was it shown to be effective? Was it aligned with a healthy North Carolina 2020 objective? Because they do have a healthy people system in North Carolina, similar to our national system. They did not include any interventions that would benefit for-profit activities. And if there was no implementation strategies, then the intervention was not included either in what he did. Currently, they're continuing to populate the tool. They released a subset of North Carolina counties using a phased rollout approach. They develop and organize a collection of implementation resources. They work with 1 to 2 community partnerships to develop ROI tools. He's partnering with CDC to put a return on investment component to each of the interventions, and I'll show you that in a minute also. And then phase 3 will also consist of continuous improvement based on feedback from users and partners as well. Unfortunately, Greg did have a video demo to go along with this. The video would not load up, so I'm relying on plan B, which is I took screenshots of all throughout the system, so I'll still be able to show you the features of it, but I'm glad I did have plan B. But anyway, so this would be the first screen that you would see when you get into the IMAP system. And it's just basically tell you that it's a free, interactive, web-based resource designed to bring together the best practice available on community health. And it is to help you assess the evidence of community health interventions, identify and select interventions that suit your community, find appropriate implementation resources, interact with others, because there is a discussion component in this, and also contribute to the knowledge base. Okay, so this is the second screenshot that you would come to in the IMAP system. And you would click on start, and it would bring you to some screens that we're going to see in a minute. But all of the items that you see listed here on the right and the left, you could actually search the database by any of these terms that you see here. So, for instance, you could click on public health quality aims, and it would be a drop-down box listing each one of the 9 aims. So let's say if you clicked on risk reducing, it would bring you to all of the interventions currently in the system that align with reducing risk. If you clicked on equitable, it would bring you to all of the interventions in the system that align with being equitable, so on and so forth. If you are a public health agency, a governmental public health agency, and if you wanted to see interventions sorted by the public health accreditation domains, I think there may be like 12 or so domains, then the drop-down box would pop up and you could click on whatever domain you wanted to query the system by. Some of the other things that you see available in the system is difficulty to implement, cost to implement, level of expertise, time to implement. And the system was specifically designed this way because this was the biggest gap that people face when they go to places like the community guide. to find evidence-based interventions. It'll tell you this is the intervention, it'll tell you this is the evidence, and it'll tell you if it's recommended or not because of lack of evidence or whatever, but it will not tell you how to implement. And that was a really big barrier for people, and that's what we hear a lot, is that it's just difficult for community-based organizations to just pick up this evidence-based information from places like that, and to be able to go in their communities and actually implement it, put it into action. So let's just go to the next screen. So, you know, you could actually, the next screen would pull up all of the interventions, all in INAP. So they currently have, I think he said, like 56, with 22 of them being totally completed. You can see this one, Becoming a Responsible Teen, that's still in draft form, meaning they have a lot of the information in there, but they don't have everything in. So let's, and you can see across the top, we still have the menu also, your searchable menu. But let's just say, for instance, that we selected Baltimore Healthy Stores, which is, it was designed to improve access to and promote healthy foods in small stores with the goal of increasing customers' purchase of healthy foods. So let's say you're a community and you wanted to implement that intervention because of, you know, deficiencies in that area in your community. This is just a screen of other interventions, but we're going to concentrate on Baltimore Healthy Stores. So you go into Baltimore Healthy Stores and it immediately gives you a description or an overview of what the program is. It gives you some expected outcomes. It gives you some key steps. And this was the most important thing from a community perspective, is that, so community guide and, you know, even literature, you can do a literature search and they're going to tell you they did the research, they're going to tell you the findings, they're going to tell you it was successful, they're going to tell you everybody needs to do this, but they don't tell you how to do it. And that's what this does. You can see over here in the AIM section, it says it's, you know, conforms with equitable and health promoting. It tells you that it takes fewer than 12 months to implement, because suppose you don't really have a whole lot of time. It's important to know that. It'll tell you the cost, you know, it's moderate. You know, if this were high cost, maybe you wouldn't be able to do it. Evidence, focus, clicking right through, it tells you level of implementation, and it tells you implementation at the local level. So this is not, if you're looking to do something on a state level, this is not what you would do. FTEs to implement training. If you click on the next tab across the top, it also gives you details about it. Cost details, evidence details. This is just more information. Measures. So you click on the next tab, it'll give you process measures and outcome measures. And then under the resources tab, it'll give you, you know, more resources, information, such as a case studies, and other contact information, which may be helpful at the local level, particularly if you want to talk to others who have already implemented this intervention. So that's not quite as good of a job as Greg would have done, and certainly not quite as good as would have been done if you would have seen the video. Because one of the features that I forgot to mention that is on the video is that communities do have the ability to go into the system and provide their evidence-based information. And that would result in a follow-up contact from the center to communicate with the organization sending that in order to get it permanently populated and documented in the system. So I thank you very much, and now we can open it up for some questions.